This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This is Issues 2018. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Tisha Darland, Director of Crisis and Outpatient Services for ComCare of Sedgwick County. Welcome to Issues 2018.
Good morning.
Did I get that title about right?
You did.
Pretty
you
close.
Definitely did.
We've been hearing a lot about suicide, really, for the past few years. And today we want to demonstrate how big the problem is, what to look for when a person is possibly suicidal, and what can be done to prevent someone from taking their own life. First of all, a little background. What is ComCare?
ComCare is the Sedgwick County's community mental health center, Steve. Every county within the state has an assigned community mental health center. It's a federal mandate. And so ComCare is the name of the one here in Sedgwick County. So we serve all of Sedgwick County, not just Wichita.
Is there any significance to ComCare, the, like commercial care or something like that?
Just
to...
I have no idea what that name came from. It was here when I arrived okay, in 1999.
Well, it's easy anyway.
Yes.
Please, if you would, Tisha, share some of these suicide rates nationally, statewide, Sedgwick County, whatever you got. I'd like to hear this gives us an idea, I think, of how big the picture is.
Right. So I will tell you that the numbers are increasing fairly rapidly over the last few years. I'll give you our local numbers first. So in 2017, we had 96 suicide deaths in Sedgwick County. So that is 18.9 suicide deaths per 100,000 Sedgwick County residents. And that's our highest rate on record since we started tracking these in 2001. So Kansas, I just learned yesterday at a talk that I was with, Kansas is the fifth leading state for suicide deaths in the United States. And so the numbers are just really, really increasing. Suicide is not just a local problem. It's a global issue. Nearly 1 million people die from suicide every year, Steve.
Back up the truck just a little bit there. Did you say Kansas, we ranked what, fifth?
Fifth.
Holy mackerel. And you're scratching your head, why are we number five?
I think there's lots of assumed answers to that question. I think, you know, research is definitely needed in this area, but one of the correlations is access to care. So we have a lot of rural communities. People can't drive 50, 60, 75 miles to get to a counseling appointment or a crisis center. And so in the rural communities, it's really hard to get those services.
That's interesting. So geography is kind of working against us on that. Huh?
Yes.
All right. What's the most common means used in suicide, Tisha?
Across the globe, it's commonly...
There's not one means that somebody uses.
No, there's lots of means, but The most common means for death by suicide is firearms.
Okay. Now, I want to talk... Let's get into who is involved here. I want to talk about what we call demographics. Who is most likely to commit suicide? What have you got for us there, Tisha?
So... gender-wise, it's always going to be males are a higher rate of suicide, and that's because over time they use the most lethal means, which is guns. Women tend to use suffocation or poisoning, which would be hanging overdose. So women attempt more than men do, Steve, but because of the lethality of the means, men complete more often.
That's very interesting to me, but because you hear people attempting, and some people, I guess, do you have anything like an average of a person, how many times a person might attempt? Or
I don't have that, but okay. the numbers show us that women attempt four times more often, you know, or more, four times more likely to attempt suicide than men. But because they're unsuccessful in it, they may attempt two to three times before actually completing suicide. But hopefully there's some intervention in there that will stop them from attempting again before that.
You talk about mostly men are more often. What about age? Is there an age factor here?
There is an age factor. So in Sedgwick County, the highest age range this past year was in the I can't read my own writing here. The mid range, like white males in middle age.
Okay.
Middle-aged white males.
Now, has that not been true for the past few years? I've done a couple of these programs, and for some reason it strikes me that middle-aged males are pretty susceptible, or more susceptible than other people, apparently.
They are. And, you know, we, in Sedgwick County, our Sedgwick County Suicide Prevention Coalition started this year something that we're very excited about. We have always been able to get the demographics from our county medical examiner, so we can know how people are completing, what age, what race, some of those things. But we didn't have anything that would help us find out maybe some predictors. So we developed a new tool that is really very, very much more thorough, and the coroner's office has given us approval to go there and review the entire chart of the person. So that could be the police report. Unfortunately, we see the pictures, but that also could include the note. It could include statements from family. So we're able to take information from that and plug it into this new data system. And so we're seeing some trends in the numbers that we did in 2017.
Has that information not been available in the past, or is there some new law or something like that?
No, we just didn't have we had access to the autopsy report, which just lists more demographic kind of things and medical things.
Yeah.
This actually takes some impressions from the responding officer, the family members, anybody else that they're able to interview. So we're able to find out some of the things that were maybe happening prior to the suicide, stressors, things like that, that have been going on in that person's life.
Is there any race that's more likely? You said white male.
Caucasians are by far the most often completing.
Okay. I know there's no simple answer, but here you go. Here's the big question. Why do people commit suicide?
There is no simple answer. No simple answer. What we learned by our research in 2017, which is just 1 year, so it's not not predictable and not scientific, but in our community, loss seemed to be a big contributor. So we
loss, meaning?
Meaning various kinds of loss. We had people that had recently lost a job. Recently, their house was foreclosed on. A loss of a spouse. A loss of a child. So some type of significant loss was a correlation in many of the deaths in Sedgwick County. Now, across the world or across the nation, one of the things that we're finding more and more is a lack of connectedness. So maybe people that are in they're more marginalized by society.
So they don't have people around them a lot, and they don't have a group or a network or a social. They're not social.
Right. Okay. So, a lot of people have wondered if bullying was a predictor, because we are seeing more and more talk about bullying, more and more people interacting on social media, things like that. But what research is telling us is that it's not actually the bullying. It's more the marginalized group that that person that may be bullying belongs to. So, for instance, the LGBTQ community, some races, people that are just different than their social norm, that feel outside, don't feel connected to others. We see this a lot in kids that maybe are, you know, more artistic or more tech savvy and don't fit in with the, you know, a smaller rural community's social norm of being an athlete or, you know, a cheerleader or popular, those kinds of things. And they feel separate, set aside, don't feel connected within their community, whether that's the community of the school, the town, whoever it is.
I don't want to put words in your mouth, but does social media contribute to that? Because I would think, you know, we talk about social media and how the kids today, well, they don't know how to talk to each other anymore because they're doing this all the time. Have you looked into that at all?
Well, actually, Facebook has done quite a bit of research on that themselves because they're trying very hard to combat that. I think what we're seeing, you know, when you and I were kids, if you didn't fit in with the community that you were in, that was your only choice.
Yeah.
But with social media, there are other choices for kids to find somebody that they may connect with, you know, somebody that's similar to their interests.
Right.
So there's some features about social media that can actually combat loneliness. But then again, kids are not able to talk one-on-one as easily as others.
Looking them in the face, going someplace and having fun together, things like that.
Right.
The social
stuff. Right.
Okay. Well, you're listening to Issues 2018 on the Intercom radio stations, and our guest is Tisha Darlin, Director of Crisis and Outpatient Services for ComCare of Sedgwick County. Let me just ask you a couple of questions about Tisha Darlin for a minute. How long have you been with ComCare?
I have been with ComCare off and on. I'm going to say that since 1999. I started out there answering the suicide hotline part-time while I was completing my master's program. And then I stayed there for a couple of years full-time, and then I went over and was the mental health coordinator at the El Dorado Correctional Facility.
Wow.
But still worked part-time at Crisis.
But that was an interesting job.
It was a great place to learn.
Really? Well, you learned a lot then.
I did learn a lot there. But then I've been back as a leader in the ComCare organization since 2008.
Where are you from? I'm getting real nosy here.
No, I'm from Belle Plaine, Kansas.
From Belle Plaine, okay.
Very small community south of
Wichita. I know where Belle Plaine is. All right. Yeah. So everyone, you know, can testify to having a bad mood now and then. I even had one myself several years ago. Many of us have at least thought, I think, about suicide. But when can the individual know that it's serious and time to seek help? When do I know that I'm either... You know, it's anxiety, depression, or how do I know for sure that I need to get some help?
That's a great question. So what my answer to that would be pretty general, but I think it is when the anxiety, depression, the suicidal thoughts, whatever you're experiencing are impacting your ability to function in your life, then it's definitely time to seek some support. So when I mean inability to function. So maybe you're starting to call in sick to work or late to work or not able to enjoy your family, finding that your energy is lacking. You don't really want to shower. You don't want to sit with the family and watch a movie, something that you enjoyed. So when you see some significant changes in your quality of life and your functioning, it's definitely time to seek some support.
I'm just currently reading yet another book about Abraham Lincoln. Mm-hmm. Our greatest president.
And somebody that really
suffered from melancholy, or they called it melancholy.
Yes, they did.
But he had a lot of reason. he had the world's weight on his shoulders. But apparently he dealt with it some way, didn't he?
He did. And, we talk about him in some mental health trainings that I have been a part of. And he is definitely somebody that suffered from significant depression and suicidal thoughts.
And how much of this is there, you know, I'm talking about depression, but some of that chemical? Is there things going on that not necessarily are what's going on around us, but something's going on in our brain?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So depression is not something that you can just get over independently on your own. It is definitely a medical condition. And I think the sooner that our country can, you know, get a grasp that mental health or behavioral health issues are medical problems, I think we'll be closer to being a healthier community.
Yeah, just people feel a stigma sometimes, don't they?
Absolutely. I talk about it is, you know, nothing for you and a close friend to sit down over a cup of coffee and talk about your sister's recent cancer diagnosis or something and what that's done to your family. But how many people do you know would sit down even with a close friend and talk about their sister's recent suicide attempt and how that's impacted the family? It's just not something that we as a nation are comfortable talking about, and we need to.
Yeah, I could sit down with my classmates from high school and start talking about all kinds of examinations we've had done and so forth, but that's a different deal when you're talking about mental health.
Yeah, and if you think about some of those conversations you've had, very rarely does anybody bring up anything that's related to mental illness.
Yeah. Well, what role, if any, can faith have in this, in the belief of God or something like that?
Another great question, and I think it's that's a very individualized answer. So if your belief in a higher power helps you feel connected, it's definitely a protective factor. If, for example, you've had a strong faith throughout your lifetime and something happens where you lose your faith or start questioning your faith, then that can become, on the other hand, a risk factor. I recently worked with somebody that was very much questioning God's existence, and if God still did exist, why was he causing him so much suffering? And so at that point, his faith was no longer a help to him. It was actually a risk because he was doubting his own belief system.
And do most people, when they do this, do they leave a note? We always have this stereotype that how people do this, but
no, they're
most, some, every now and then.
Some leave notes. I think, when we do what's called a psychological autopsy, when you look back at the person's life after a suicide, there are almost always some type of warning sign.
Yeah.
In the moment, sometimes you're not seeing that as a warning sign because it seems very isolated. But when you look back and have the knowledge that the person was suicidal, then you might pick up on it. And that's not to say that families or friends or anyone are to blame for missing those things.
No, and that was my next question. It's right here. What are the signs to look for in your loved ones or people you know?
I think a change is a big thing. So if a person has always been kind of melancholy and moody and then makes a change for the better, they are very hopeful and excited and their mood is just a drastic change, that's a concern. And on the flip side of that, obviously, if the person's mood becomes more irritable, more depressed, more angry, talking about death, not even necessarily suicide, but talking about death, like, I just can't do this anymore. Why doesn't God just take me? Things like that are definitely overt suicidal statements. One of the research factors that we know is chronic insomnia and chronic pain are warning signs. And if you think about that, if you've ever had a chronic pain issue and you can't get away from it, it can really create some hopelessness and helplessness.
Are there times when there are no warning signs? Nobody sees anything?
I think that happens far too often. And I think part of that is education, to know what to look for and to be asking the question. And that's the thing, if I could stress to people everywhere and over time, that is the single most, the single thing that we can do to interrupt suicide is to ask the question and not ask the question of, are you thinking about hurting yourself or harming yourself? Are you thinking about killing yourself? Are you thinking about your own death? Do you wish you were dead? Those seem very harsh questions.
So you're saying this, go ahead and ask those questions.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, those are pretty tough questions, right?
They are. But not asking and finding something out after the fact is far harder than asking the question.
What role do drugs and alcohol play in this?
Definitely substance use is a contributing factor. Anybody that is under the influence and is having thoughts is much more likely to act on those. You know, being inebriated, either drunk or under the influence of some substance, makes you more impulsive anyway. And so if you're experiencing suicidal thoughts, that can be the time that you actually act on them.
Let's talk a little bit about the people who are related or know the people who have committed suicide, the survivors. I know that the reaction can be pretty intense if somebody, and even feelings of anger toward the person.
Absolutely. It's by far the most complicated grief process. And probably the biggest thing about it is the why. You can't get past the why. Even if you have a child die from something tragic like leukemia or something, you at least have some answer as to why it happened. But when you have a family member complete suicide, the questions just go on for a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it is very hard. In fact, a study I recently read is that 135 people are affected by each suicide. It creates a ripple effect. If you think about a child, a high school student, every person in that high school has been impacted by that, to the custodian.
What help is available?
Lots of help.
Lots of help. Good.
Lots of help. You know, within our community, we're blessed to have the ComCare's Community Crisis Center, where you can see somebody face-to-face. You can see a counselor face-to-face 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Wow.
Not all communities have that, but all communities have access to the National Lifeline. We're actually a Lifeline center. We're only one of two centers in Kansas that are a Lifeline center. So anybody that calls the 1-800 number will be connected to a local person here in Sedgwick County. But there's help at schools. I mean, you know, you can call 911 if you are at a point that you don't know who to call and you can't find the number and you can't remember who they told you to call. Call 911 and let them know, and they will get you connected to the closest crisis center in your area.
You have a hotline, don't you?
We do have a hotline.
What's that number?
It's 660-7500.
Okay.
It's answered 7 days a week, 24 hours a day.
Okay.
And we get about 80,000 calls a year.
Really? Okay. Yeah. And those of us who have lost somebody, is there help for them? You have some guidance, some groups, anything like that?
Actually, we have a wonderful survivors of suicide group here in Wichita. It's not run by ComCare. It's run by Good Grief of Kansas. And everybody that's connected to that group has just said that it has been the one thing that has helped them survive it. Everybody that's in that group has lost a family member or a close friend to suicide. So it's that lived experience and being able to see somebody that's farther along in the healing process that can give you some hope that you will survive this.
Is this topic a no-no in schools? Do schools kind of not even do anything about it, or they?
No, they are trying very, very hard to make a difference. You know, different communities look at this problem differently, Steve, which is one of the complicating factors. So, but I think that in Kansas right now, with the Attorney General has tasked us with an initiative to reduce youth suicides in Kansas. And so that is involving lots of communities, lots of schools, lots of people that work with kids trying to put their heads together and see what do we need to do to fix this.
Yeah, my understanding is ComCare, yes, you're there, but there are other groups. You talk to a lot of people. There's a kind of a network there, is there not? Other groups and so forth.
There is. We have been blessed to have a community initiative that was actually initiated by Sheriff Easter, and he got lots of us on board. You know, we've got ComCare, we've got all the hospitals, we've got the schools, we've got private providers, and we're just trying to work hard to combat mental illness as a whole and how it impacts our community. Suicide is a piece of that. Unfortunately, it's a big piece. But there are lots of things that our community is working towards together, which is a good thing. A lot of other communities in Kansas are not near as far along as we are in being on the same page that we have to solve this by working together.
Lots of education is involved, and you're at it all the time. That's what you do, right?
Yes. Yes.
Get out the word. What's going on? How does this work?
So we are fortunate. We have mental health first aid instructors. I'm actually one of them myself. We teach adult mental health first aid, youth mental health first aid, mental health first aid for seniors, for law enforcement. We have assist trainers. Those trainings are offered all the time through the year and are on our Facebook page.
Okay. That's all we have time for. Our guest is Tisha Darlin, Director of Crisis and Outpatient Services for ComCare of Sedgwick County, and we've been talking about suicide today. Thanks for being with us, Tisha.
Thank you for the opportunity.
I learned a lot today. That's all for Issues 2018. We'll be back next week. I'm Steve McIntosh.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.